Hello.
Hello. We're a bit rusty, aren't we, Mark?
I know. Week off and I've kind of forgotten how to do this.
You could drive a jumbo jet through the gap between those two hellos, couldn't you? Probably two jumbo jets sellotaped together.
Or a rocket plane.
Rocket plane.
Driven by a billionaire.
Did you watch any of that? Did you watch him in space?
Twat.
Why is he a twat?
Because he is.
Why?
Well, all the money he's blowing on that thing.
It's what's wrong with it?
I don't know.
It's fun.
Fun, yeah.
I do think it's a
nice
bit...
Nice for him, nice for the rich people to be able to go into space, isn't it, I suppose, yeah.
I tell you what, though, I would have been... If, as a lad, when I was very, very small, when I saw them land on the moon, I was very small. Can I just say that? Yeah. But I did see them land on the moon. And if somebody's tapped me on the shoulder and said, Bruce, where do you think we'll be in 2021? I mean, what sort of things do you think we'll be getting excited about? And I said, well, we definitely would have colonised Mars by then. And they said, no, someone would have gone right up in a spaceship to the edge of space and then come down again. And that would have been it, really. I go, that's fucking disappointing. What the fuck have they been dicking around doing for decades and decades? But it looked quite nice, though. I wouldn't mind doing that flight.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing it either. The thing is, the issue I have with it is that it's just for the super rich, isn't it? It's like, if he was doing
it's for anybody who's got £150,000.
Right, there you go. If he was doing it, like,
got that money.
I'm going to take, you know, poor orphans into space.
Yeah.
So they can have a, you know, or if it was like a benevolence sort of thing, I'd think that that was brilliant. Give one place to like some lottery kind of winner.
Are they not doing that? Because that would be nice, actually, if they all took at least one person. Yes, a lottery.
Richard Branson, it's all about the money with him.
All about the money. It's all about the money. Well, it'll probably blow up or something, and then they'll go, oh, shit, we shouldn't do that anymore. I didn't mean that in a bad way. It is bad. I'm not wanting.
I meant it in a good way. That's even worse.
These things do break, don't they? But I think it's good. I like anything to do with space, because the good thing about the thing was the space was that it detracted from the football. So that was quite. For a moment, I could think about space rather than all the massive football coverage that was going on.
I'm proud to say.
Yeah.
I not watched one single minute of any of that.
Not once. Wow.
Didn't watch any of it.
Wow.
And no disrespect to people who like football. No disrespect, because I think, you know, it's an amazing achievement to get to the final.
Yeah.
But I just can't be bothered with it. I don't like football particularly, and I definitely do not like all the fan nonsense that goes with football.
Mm.
One of the things I really don't like is the we're winning, or the way that everyone talks about we, like they're in the team. I find that, don't know why, but that really, really irritates me. Yeah, we got to the... No, you didn't. You were watching it on television. You didn't get anywhere. Yeah, but we're in the... No, you're not. They are the professional football players who've trained for years and years. They're in the final. You're just a fat bastard watching on your sofa. So shut up.
I don't mind a bit of football, to be honest, and I did watch some bits and pieces of it.
Oh.
I know, shock horror.
You traitor.
I don't never watch football normally, but I didn't watch every match. I didn't watch half, I didn't watch even watch all the final, to be honest. We were cycling back a bit drunk from somewhere, and for the final. But it's not my thing particularly, and but I do feel a bit guilty because we were out somewhere, and there's a group of people, and watching the match there. We weren't gathered there for the match anyway, blah 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 blah. And I said right at the beginning, before the whistle had blown, I said Italy wins on penalties. People went, well, hopefully not. And then, of course, England scored in about 5 seconds. And I said, yeah, still Italy win on penalties.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I should be trolled probably by lots of really keen hooligan fans of the, because I think I did it. I think I ill-wished it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's my fault. But I like to watch the Italians get happy. I like, the Italians are very good at celebrating.
Yeah, there was quite, this is quite an Italian-American neighbourhood, so there was a lot of shouting and fireworks last night when well, the match ended. Just like,
and we have kind of slightly blotted our copybook a bit, haven't we? With all the
see, it's the England fans. It's like, I mean, and I know it's not all of them. I know it's only a minority, but like on Twitter, I was just seeing like just these awful scenes at Leicester Square of like just rubbish all over the place. People, and then someone with a firework up their ass. Did you see that?
I did see the picture. Yeah,
totally ridiculous.
But it's all the other. I mean, yeah, there was obviously they tried to rat. They broke. You know, there was fans breaking into Wembley, and the 13 policemen got hurt.
Embarrassing, isn't it, really?
And then the racism, and then the booing of the other team, and then the online abuse of the 8-year-old German fan, and then it just goes on and on.
I know, well, that's, see, all that stuff just puts me off, really does.
Yeah, it puts me off too.
I don't know if you get it in other sports as much. It just seems to be quite,
I don't think you get it in many other countries, really. I mean, I don't know what other countries, but I mean, I think there was no booing of our anthem by other teams, and it's like, and I know it's a minority, that's a problem. So it's a minority of dickwads on the internet that cause all this bollocks. Most people don't, but if it's always something, it's just fucking, they need to do something about the Twitterer people. Just, you shouldn't have anonymous accounts anymore. I mean, it's just nonsense. Why should people be able to hide?
Yeah,
they can give
right.
opinions, but why the fuck? It's like, no,
you
just
should have to
that.
Give your real name.
Yeah. Come on. And then if you really believe what you believe, you stand by it. So if you're a racist prick, you can be a racist prick and then basically suffer the consequences of it, can't you?
Yes.
And that's, and that'd be perfectly fair. But talking about the coverage of the games is quite interesting, because it's always the bits in between when they're not playing football, which are quite amusing when they're talking. Because obviously there are quite lots of gaps to fill. Andy Love.
Yes.
Who, we all know and love. He was saying, he pointed out earlier that Alan Shearer. Say, actually, you could help with this one, because you're good at accents. Can you say, you know Alan Shearer at all?
I know the name. Don't know who he is.
Can you say pace and space in a Geordie accent, please?
Pierce and space. Yeah. You mean like
Pierce. That's very good.
Is he a Geordie?
It's Geordie, yeah.
Right.
It's piss. It's bit, I can't do it. But Andy was saying that, it's true. He says a lot of, I've got great piss.
Great
piss. But then
piss.
He
does
work piss. Piss. Like piss.
To make piss. It great Jake, piss.
Well, yeah. The other one is they do go around the same old things. Composure. The work, the team, it's composure, and the focus, composure, focus. And eventually the words mean nothing.
Yeah, I find that, because I've watched a lot of tennis, as you know, I've been into that, watched the men's and ladies' final this weekend, which were both very good. But some of the commentators, like Tim Henman is a bloody awful tennis commentator. You think he shouldn't be, because he's a good tennis player.
Mm.
But he just trots out all the cliches. It's just like a string of cliches every time he opens his mouth. And you don't really hear it. I like Boris Becker because he always sort of just uses weird analogies. And
it was quite funny. What is it? What did Becker get into trouble with, didn't he, this week? Did you see that?
I read about that, yeah, because he said somebody was pretty.
It's so quite funny, though, that the outrage that is pours forth because...
How dare you call me pretty? I'm an ugly... No.
I mean, if he said, she's got nice tits... Something like that.
Right.
And then we go, you can't say that, you dinosaur, anymore. You can't do that or say that. But if you say, she's pretty, and then people, you are fucking bastard. How could you?
I didn't really see what, is that what he?
Yeah, he said, yeah. He said there was, he's got the, they're Hungarian. He was saying, Hungarian girls. Well, just this particular one who's a Hungarian girl friend of whatever, and saying, he thought she was pretty. He didn't go, he didn't do that. She just said it was pretty. And then people went, how dare you dare you, she's more than just pretty. I'm sure that she is.
He probably didn't mean that she was Becky, just pretty.
But he didn't mean it. He wouldn't say that's the summation of her whole fucking
That woman is just pretty and nothing else. She's good eye candy.
She's only good for looking at her. That's the time, you know, just get her off our screens. Don't let her talk. Don't let her talk. If he said all that. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be different.
He didn't, did he? Mm. So, God, people love a bit of outrage, don't they? They love a bit of outrage.
Well, I've also heard him say that about male tennis players. Like, he's a good-looking guy, you know.
Well, that's interesting. There you go. You see, that's a good point. That wasn't mentioned.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. There's a new show on Netflix, which is very raunchy. It's called Life, Love and Sex. Anyway, apparently it's like a bit softy porn, and it's about this middle-aged woman who's like...
What's softy porn? Is that like just a step down from soft porn? Oh, it's some softy porn. Softy like porn. Walter the Softy from Dennis the Menace.
Yes, it is that.
Ooh, don't come near me with that thing.
It's a new category, softy porn. Anyway, apparently there's... I haven't watched it. Apparently there's this middle-aged woman who... She's got her husband and her kids, I think, but then her ex, she really fancies him because he's really fit, and there's lots of like sex, but it's like the opposite of the male gaze. It's the female gaze. It's like seeing guys as ripped and like, and old Camilla Long pointed out in the Sunday Times paper this week about that if men did that, men can't do that. We aren't allowed to do that, but women can apparently go, oh, look at there, he's always ripped. Oh, God, do him. Apparently, that's okay. Well, luckily, I'm not ripped, so I don't suffer that abuse. Mm. Let's have a look at your. Come on, take your t shirt off, live on air. Go on, Mark, take it off. Let's see if you're ripped.
I don't take my t shirt off for anybody.
I'll give you 50 quid. I want to stick my virtual 50 quid down your pants. You take your t shirt off.
I'll have that then. Go on then. Do with that 50 quid.
Yeah, virtual. So anyway, very long introduction there. Was that an introduction? That was a good ramble, wasn't it? I think we covered a lot of things there. Football. How are you, Mark?
I'm all right. You know, game of two halves. Kept my composure at the important points.
How was your pace and your space? Did you get enough space for your pace?
Well, you know, I've got a bit of space on the thing, and it's like everything isn't then, isn't it?
Well, thank you for
that's
that.
That's what it sounds like to me, because they always sort of go, you know, they
slowly wind down, don't they? An old Gary Lineker. I mean, Gary Lineker looks like he sounds like Einstein, doesn't he, compared to some of the other ones they have on there sometimes. It does sound very...
I mean, to be honest, I'm basing all my football commentary memories on...
1970s.
A long time ago. Yeah, 1970s and 1980s.
I don't think it's changed that much.
I haven't watched football since then. Well, I did watch a little bit of the... was it the World Cup recently? Or was it a different cup? I can't remember.
World Cup was 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, I watched a bit of that kind of...
Oh, there you go.
On not willingly, just sort of, you know, dragged into it, kicking and screaming.
Yeah. The ones that are the most facile are the ones after the match with the manager or with a football player, because there's only certain few things they can actually say. So basically, if they've lost, if they've won, they go, well, the lad, the team, the boys did well, worked hard, got the result, got the goals. It's all about, you know, the lads kept their composure. We kept, you know, good focus up front. We worked it. We worked it on the field. We got the goals. We held back. Defence held well. Middle people. The little people in the middle running around. They did well too. Lots of passing. I've changed my accent now. And good heading from the headers and from the heads and from the toes. The good use of toes. But there's a certain amount that you can say, isn't there? And that's it.
Yeah,
and if you're like Mourinho, you just don't say much. You just look a bit pissed off that you've been asked anything, or that, you know, fuck off. Don't ask me anything. I'm so fuck off. So yes,
that was good. That was.
Andrew Love. Andrew Love. If you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love. Andrew Love.
Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
So, do you want to hear the result of the RSP quiz?
God, yeah, I'd forgotten all about it.
So this is the answer. Thank you very much for those people who bothered to give us an answer. The answer to the fiendishly difficult RSP quiz, and the person who gets this right is winning a PlayStation 5. The book I was looking at the time was Straw Dogs by John Gray. That's Straw Dogs by John Gray. That was the book. Yeah. And
how many entries did we have?
We had, well, I've got them
too
here
many
now.
To count.
Too many. Look, too many entries to count. Just flicking through them all.
Ooh, blimey, that's
quite
a big
lot of entries. Look at that entry there.
Yeah,
it's a big entry. Look at my big entry. And unfortunately, though, of course, nobody got it right. So no, we go on to the next week, so the PlayStation 5 is still up for grabs.
Did anyone nearly get it right?
Someone said, Seven Types of Atheism by John Gray. So they got quite close.
Yeah.
Seven Types of Atheism by the same author, but close is not a winner.
No.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm looking out the window. Right? This is easier. This is quite easy, actually. I'm looking out and I can see a bush out of my window. Right? And the question is, what type of bush is it? What sort of type of bush is it? And the person who gets the correct answer to that will win a PlayStation 5. And they're very difficult to get hold of, by the way. Very difficult.
Is it Kate Bush?
No, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Oh, it'd be lovely if Kate Bush was out there. Wait, just waving and going, hello,
let me in at your window. Oh, oh.
Oh, that's the game I want to play. Start playing is what do we think the famous person is doing today game? So you've got to I've got to think of a famous person, and then you've got to just, because I'm always fascinated by what, for example, I quite often think, what is Kate Bush doing today?
Right now, this minute.
Right now, what's she doing right now? This is like 5 to 3 on a Monday afternoon.
I reckon she's making a cup of peppermint tea.
Mm.
And some gluten-free scones.
Do you think she's a gluten-freer?
Definitely.
Why, really? Why? Why? It's
just a feeling.
Okay. Peppermint tea. Yeah, peppermint tea could be right. But do you reckon she's touched the piano today? Do you reckon she's...
I reckon she's touched it, yeah. I reckon she's walked past the piano and, like, gone... on a couple of notes, and I thought, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to another time.
She's
not
thinking
it today.
Yeah, not feeling it. And also, to be honest with you, I'm quite successful. I'm very successful. I don't need to. I don't need to do another album, another song ever again.
And she's probably into a Pilates class.
Ooh.
Online.
Ooh. Online.
On Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
With Kate Winslet.
Yeah,
and Floella Benjamin.
Oh, I thought you could say just all the Kates. Kate Blanchett, Kate Winslet.
Oh, right, yeah. Kate.
Katie Price.
Yeah, Kate, class of Kates.
Class of Kates. And they go, Gooey, how are you today? All right, how are you, Blanchett? Well, you know, mustn't grumble and everything. And then, what happens in
Pilates? Did you see the match last night? Oh, it was a fucking disaster, wasn't it?
Was
actually,
so
Kate
much...
Winslet probably would speak like that.
There was such pace and space, wasn't there?
A lot of pace, a lot of space, a lot of composure. Game of two halves.
That's interesting, yeah. So, and what do you think she's going to have for tea tonight?
Well, after having, you know, kind of a healthy day,
mm.
I reckon she's probably going to have a packet of wagon wheels.
Naughty. Yeah. and good retro choice.
But she'll
well.
Pretend that she's having something healthy when she's talking to her mum on the phone.
Yeah, right.
It's like singing a packet of wagon wheels.
You reckon her mum's still with her? She could be. I mean, Kate Bush is about 60.
I reckon she lives in a... I reckon her mum lives in an annex on her... In the grounds of her palatial...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Where did she live? Where does she live?
Kate Bush.
Yeah, she lives in England.
Suffolk.
Does she? How did she know that? Oh, I see, just making it up. Anyway, Kate...
Framlingham.
Framlingham in Suffolk. Suffolk. That's where she lives.
Okay. Yeah, that's where she lives.
Good choice. So, Kate, if you listen to the show and you want to get in touch... Actually, Kate, there is a chance that you could win a PlayStation 5, all right? If you guess what what my bush is out of the window. And if Kate Bush won this, that would
be brilliant.
It would be the best thing. I could die happy then. Come on, Kate. Anyone know Kate Bush out there? Come on. 6-7 degrees of separation. There'll be somebody who knows something. Well,
7 degrees is 1 degree too far.
186 degrees of separation. Somebody somewhere knows some connection to her. I've got no connection with Kate Bush at all. Have you got any connection with Dave Gilmour, Mark? Because you're, you know, a rock and roller. Dave Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I know who he is.
All right.
No.
I bet we'll work on it, because Dave Gilmour knows her, because they worked together, didn't they, in the DIY. He actually did the guitar solo, didn't he, on on Wuthering Heights.
Guitar solo?
Guitar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there a guitar solo on Wuthering Heights?
Yeah.
How's it go?
I can't do it. There's definitely one at the end. She stops singing. She's gone home. She's in a cab on the way home, and the song is still going. And there is a guitar solo at the end. I'm sure it's Dave Gilly, as we like to call him, Gilly Moore. But so peace and space for Gilly Moore. Right. What have you got from us this week, Mark? Come on, you've had a whole fucking 2 weeks off. You can't come to the show empty-handed. What have you got?
I've got this pencil.
All right, go on then. Do something interesting with that. Stick it up your ass.
It's checks from the Czech Republic.
Is it?
Yeah. There you go. Thank you very much. It's black and... yes, don't ask me what I've got to...
You've got nothing, have you? Absolutely. Where have you been anyway? That's what fans are asking. Where's Mark been?
The fans, yeah. I've been down in North Carolina. North Carolina.
Oh, tell us about the album.
The album? No, it was not an album. It's an EP. 4 songs, 10-inch vinyl. Looks very cool.
Very cool.
Thanks to Sean in the band who did all that design and everything.
Oh, does he?
Got it all pressed up.
Oh, yeah. Did he? So you got a designer in the band?
Yeah. Well, two, in fact. Three designers in the band, I believe.
Whoa. That's ridiculous. Sean
is a graphic designer. Donnie is a graphic designer. Adam is a web designer.
So you sort of let the side down by not being a designer.
And then Taylor works for Bank of America. He's the one who's...
Who?
He's the Taylor.
That's 5 people.
Yeah, there's 5 people in the band.
Oh, are
there? Used to be 4, now there are 5. He's the black sheep of the...
But the thing is, of course, that means that the 4-way split, which wasn't ever brilliant, to be honest, has now become a 5-way split.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, better than being in the Water Boys, though, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, the Water Boys is about 12 of them, aren't there? Or Madness. It's Madness to be a Madness, because there's about 72 members of Madness, aren't there?
What about the Trelawney Male Voice Choir?
Yeah, how many in there?
I don't know. So many, you can't count them.
It's a blur of faces.
Yeah.
So the album's called what? No, it's, I'm not saying the album's called what. Go on. Go on.
It's called Wasted Dreamer.
Ooh, that is you, isn't it? That is you, actually, isn't it?
Well...
You're just wasted. Quite often you're wasted because you're drunk, and you're a wasted dreamer because...
What are you talking about?
Because you're...
I haven't been drunk in years, I should let you know.
Why not?
I don't know. Don't want to anymore. I got fed up with the hangovers.
Lightweight.
Yeah.
Wasted Dreamer. So, 4 tracks. Name me the tracks.
Wasted Dreamer is one of them. Nothing Doing. I Gotta Tell You. Which is very sort of 60s jangly. And then the last track is called The Wild Swan.
And when is this out? Because the album's covered.
Well, sometime soon. We haven't decided on an actual date yet.
Right.
I want to do some kind of pre-release. See, talk about me for a couple of minutes and he starts yawning.
It's the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm so glad I asked that question.
You've got a very soporific voice.
Semi-asleep. Sorry about that. I was a bit like this instead then. All right, well, it's coming out in a few weeks' time. I haven't got the date yet, but...
How much is it then, Mark?
I don't know.
You don't
a
know.
Lot of money. We only made 25 copies. It's like ultra limited edition, very
wow.
Rare.
Hey, can we have one of those as a prize for RSP?
No.
Why not?
Because I've got to sell them all. I've got to sell them all to pay for it.
Stingy bastard. Go on, just keep one.
Look,
by.
If there were 200, I'd keep one by, but there's only 25 copies.
Why have you only made 25?
Well, because, no, first of all, what's the point in making more than that? No one's going to buy them.
You know, the positivity is off the scale, isn't
it? It's good to keep it really, really limited, because then we can sell them as a very special
item,
you know? Yeah. Very exclusive item for the real fans.
Discerning. Are you... Well, that's very exciting. Well, do keep us posted on when they're coming out. When it's coming out. Yeah,
I will.
Thank you. We need to move on now. Sorry about this. We did promise a couple of weeks ago that we'd be in that episode. We'd be talking about Mukbang Guy. It was listed, and we ran out of time. It does happen on the show that even though we ramble on for a long time, eventually we lose interest in each other and we stop. Yeah. So we didn't do Mukbang Gang. Mukbang Guy. Should we do that now?
Go on then, yes.
The thing I hadn't read before was this guy, ordinary guy, he just sounded like an ordinary guy, and basically he's got a video channel.
Yeah.
And he started filming himself eating food. And okay. He got quite a few subscribers eating food. And then there's interaction with the subscribers saying, well done on the chips, we enjoy the chips, but how about some burgers? So he ate the burgers, and then somebody, oh, that's not, I like that. Well, oh, can I see just eating cheese? Can you just eat cheese? And he did that, and he did chicken, and he did crisps, and the potatoes, and he did onions, and got lots and lots of subscribers. So many, in fact, that it pays his mortgage.
No.
So the money he makes from the videos of him eating food, as suggested by his subscribers... Yeah. Or by himself, or his wife, or by the postman.
He's got a wife.
He's enough money to pay his mortgage on YouTube. It's called Mukbang, which is a phenomenon. I think it came out from the South Korea, I think, originally,
right.
where people like to watch people on the internet eating food.
Why is
makes
the question?
Sense. Yeah, why?
Why so do you want to watch someone on the YouTube eating food?
Guess. I don't know. I mean, well, let's do it now. Why do you think this works? Watch this.
I don't know.
Let's just see if... No, watch this. Just watch this. Right. It's not eating food, but it's drinking my coffee. Let's just see what this does to you. Was that... Yeah?
That
did you not like that?
Like, slightly irritated. I have a very low tolerance of the sound of chewing.
Yeah, like I wasn't chewing my coffee.
No, but you made like a slurp, or slurping and chewing,
slurpy,
right?
Yeah.
If I'm sitting somewhere,
yeah,
in public, and I hear someone chewing, so like even like on a bus, and there's someone like chewing, like my ear will just hone in on that sound, and I'll get more and more worked up till I have to put earbuds in or move. See, no, honestly, it really is.
Change buses.
Like, gotta get off this bus because that chewing is driving me fucking crazy.
Isn't that funny? Because I've got a sound fixation. It's all part of my. I get fixated on sounds. It drives Katie nuts because you're in the garden on the hammocks, and it's really peaceful. And then about 28 miles away, there's somebody just kind of playing golf or something, and you can hear somebody putting very quietly. And I go, Katie, can you hear that? Can you hear that? Can you hear that? There's a guy with a putter putting. Can you hear that? He's doing it again. And then that's all she can hear is this person putting on a putting green 25 miles away or something. So yeah, I'm very bad at it.
I wonder actually.
Why I have to have white. I have to have white noise on at night. I have the fan on.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too.
And then in winter, I don't have the fan on because I'd be freezing my bollocks off. So, but I have a small little machine that doesn't really do anything apart from makes the sound.
Right,
plug it in. It doesn't. I think it's broken for its purpose, but it makes a nice little humming sound, yeah. And that gives me. That means if the sound's outside.
I can't imagine there'd be that many sounds outside where you are, though.
No, there are enough. Are there? There are enough. Yeah. Sometimes there's a kind of a robin. A robin makes a sound, a little fucker.
Bloody robin out there! I can still
do it.
I wonder, though, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit, whether people who have artistic and creative tendencies tune in more to those kinds of things. Because I've often found myself getting really worked up about some kind of background noise, and I've mentioned it to who I'm with, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
I'm like, that noise is driving me nuts. And it's like, but I can barely hear it. And it's the same, like, if I find it really, really hard if I'm sitting in a room and some people are talking. Like the other night, right? I went out to met my friend Sean and Taylor from the band at this pub restaurant in Charlotte. And when I first met them, it was really quiet. There was hardly anyone in there having a nice chat. But then it started to get busier and busier, which I didn't like anyway because of the whole thing. But then I found myself, after a while, it's impossible to. It's not that I can't hear the person's voice. It's just my ear will tune in automatically to all the background noise rather than the person right in front of me. Do you do that?
I do that. I do that when, the other night, last night, went out for this meal thing. So there's eight people around a table. Six people. What's the regulation? Whatever it is. Yeah.
Six people.
Whatever it was. Definitely six people. Legally, it was that many people around the table.
Right.
All the windows and doors were open. Obviously, there were people with fans. They were fanning us. It just got. There was no music on, but lots of people were talking quite animatedly, and there was one particular person who was particularly very nice chap, but just quite loud. So everyone had to match that voice, the decibelishness level of the voice. And I thought I was going to get tinnitus by the end of it. It was just so suddenly really bad. And also I'm dipping into other people's conversations, unfortunately. So I'm talking to somebody, but then somebody else is saying something and then I'm kind of earwigging there by mistake.
Yeah.
It's like, so I've got umpteen different channels on at the same time. And I want to chip in with other people's conversations. And it's just quite tiring.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, but I
really noticed last week, because that was the first time I've been out to a pub type, you know, situation with friends since this pandemic started. Like I've been in a few places before that have been really quiet, but this was the first time I've been somewhere that actually there was music playing and it started to get quite busy and noisy, and I really didn't like it. And I'm not really a big fan of those kind of places anyway. Like I wasn't even before the pandemic when there's lots of people around. But I found myself getting quite anxious. It's just like I've really thought, well, my social skills have sort of deserted me somewhat. I'm not just capable of handling this kind of environment at the moment after not doing it for such a long time. I wonder if a lot of other people... I've had that same experience, yeah.
Probably are. But I mean, I always find the thing that there's a balance between... But I thought before the pandemic, I can do the whole... So when back in the day when there was the pack, so a good few years ago when we were all back in Kirtlington, there was a big pack of us from the village and we used to just go off like as a pack to different pubs.
Yeah.
Descend, and there'd be much merriment and much quaffing and stuff like that of booze and people stumbling and fumbling home. And I used to sort of be able to, even back then, you know, chatty, 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 boozy, chatty, chatty, noise, noise, noise. And then I would suddenly go, nah, it's enough. And I just walk home, not in a rude way.
I remember.
But I just go, that's enough. I'm going home. so there's certain points which I can gauge, and then I just kind of go, nah, that's enough. Mm. I just want peace and quiet now. I don't want to. So the worst thing for me is not having an exit.
Yeah.
So if I know, weddings are the worst, actually. Oof. Fucking weddings. Because there's no exit forever. It's the longest day ever. It's the longer than the longest day film. No, the Normandy land, worse than the Normandy landings as well. More collateral damage at a wedding because it just goes on, doesn't it? It's like the slowest bit is waiting for food.
Uh-huh.
It's like all the other tables are getting up and getting to the buffet, and you're on the table right at the back, and it's like, oh god. And or you just exhaust yourself with the two people next to you on the big round table. You talk to them, you think that's all right, they're quite nice. Chatty, talk to the other one. Ah. But that's fine for about 20 minutes. But 3 hours later, there's nothing left. Everyone has got nothing left to talk about, have they?
That's it.
Everyone's empty.
Yeah.
They're like goat wraiths. They've got nothing more to contribute because they've been there too long.
I've got a Hester tester and a hook.
Should we do a Hester first?
No, I think we should do the other one first because the Hester one is a bit more challenging.
Oh, okay. Mr. Hook first, then. Here we go. On the hook with Simon Hook, his questions we do slay, unrinsed up slay.
I can't say that word. Mellifluous men. How can I tell if I'm under or over watering my cacti?
Good question.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold back, does he?
No.
Simon, he always gets, knocks it for six.
Do you have any cacti in your hovel?
No.
Do you have any plants?
No, I don't. I used to have plants. I used to have house plants.
Yeah.
I used to have a lot of house plants. Isn't that interesting, isn't it? I definitely had an era of house plants. Every time I moved a lot, I get some house plants, put my house plants around, but I just can't be bothered. And there's lots of, we are surrounded by some lovely countryside, so you kind of think, well, really step out the door. Yeah. Have you got any plants?
I have got quite a few house plants, actually,
Never seen any.
Well, they're not in the bedroom. They're in... Got a couple in the kitchen.
Oh, are we in your bedroom?
Well, I mean, the studio. Yeah, I mean, the studio. I was just slip of the tongue there.
Oh, I didn't know you were in your bedroom stroke studio. Yeah. Oh, intimate.
Oh, dear.
Gosh.
Oh, dear. I've got a couple of cacti. So I feel fairly qualified to answer this question.
Go on, do it.
And I should say, your plants definitely need way less water than you think they do, most of them.
In general.
Mostly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned from experience that overwatering will kill plants much more quickly than underwatering them. Like, they can sort of handle sitting there and being quite dry for quite a long time. I mean, months in some case. Like, I've got these two mother-in-law's tongue plants, snake plants, whatever they're officially called. And I water them maybe like once every 10 weeks or so, maybe less than that. And they're thriving. And the cactus, you hardly need to water it at all. You can leave it for months and months and months and it'll be fine. So if you're overwatering it, you'll know because it'll get really spongy and soft and... but if it gets to that point, then it's probably too late because the roots will be rotten. If the roots are rotting, then it's fucked. That's what happened to one.
Is this the question? What's the question? The question is, how do you know?
How can I tell if I'm under or over watering?
Yeah.
Well, if you're under watering, I mean, you can't really underwater a cactus, I don't think, unless you never, ever, ever water it at all.
Yeah.
But even if you watered it like once every 6 months, it'll probably be okay. But if you water it every few weeks, that's overwatering and it'll get
that's overwatering a cactus.
It'll get like because they just retain all that moisture inside them, don't they?
Oh yeah, this is like we've never done gardener
questions,
time, have we? It's really good. It's really helpful. You're helping people. Hey, help.
Well, you don't. I mean, I might be helping people. I might just be talking absolute shit.
No, because you've got cactuses, so it's based upon your real world experience rather than something you.
Well,
saw
have I?
Interest.
Maybe I haven't got cactuses really.
Maybe you're I'm lying. Then.
Maybe well, I'm just.
What would be a weird thing to make up, though, wouldn't it? I've got cactuses.
Well, cacti, I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't for the fact that we've got a question about cacti.
So, are you lying?
No, I'm not telling the truth. I've got two.
What are they called?
They're not called anything. They're plants.
Do you not name them?
Dave and Shirley Bassey.
Friends. Friend one and friend two. When you feel a bit lonely. Friend one.
Not Prince Charles. I don't talk to them, actually.
You don't?
There you go. Oh, you fucking bastard.
You spiky old...
Drop leave all over the floor again. But I have to tell you this one more time. You're out the window.
No, I'm going to water you.
I'm going to water you until you die.
It's going to be like waterboarding, isn't it? for a plant. If you overwater them.
Yeah.
Lordy. Oh, recommended TV. Also, as I jumped.
That's right,
there.
I finished it.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you very much for that, Simon. I think it was a really good answer, actually. Well done, Mark. Thank you, for Simon, as per usual. But you couldn't catch us out there because you didn't realise that Mark's got two cactuses.
Yeah, therefore it's...
Good, very good television at the moment, everybody around the world who listens. And that is...
Brilliant. I love they introduce something and then... I don't remember what it's called. It's got that person in it, that actor. What's
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah.
Have you started to watch the new season? Do you watch it at all?
I tell you what. Here's my thing. I watched the first season and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Like, really, really hard to watch. I mean, really hard to watch, but I did. And I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, isn't even the right word. It's fucking just incredibly hard to watch.
Yeah.
I started to watch the second one and I just couldn't continue with it because it was just making me too stressed. There was a point where I think it was like, whatever her name is, I've forgotten the name of the main character.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Just a woman.
Yeah.
that was ironic,
woman.
By the way. I was being ironic.
She's a pretty woman, though, wasn't
subject
she?
Of the thing. Anyway, pretty. She escapes, right? and then she got recaptured, and I just thought, oh, fuck, I cannot watch this. I can't watch it anymore. No. So I haven't watched it since that point. Because it was just stressing me out too much.
It's a shame, because it's so good.
I think it's because I have a daughter...
Yeah,
that has really, really made a big... I mean, there's certain things that I used to be able to watch TV-wise that I can't anymore because of thinking about her and, you know.
Well, that's... We don't want to get too serious, but seeing some on the subject, then obviously what's been happening in Afghanistan, that makes me think particularly of The Handmaid's Tale because of the Taliban and how they treat women.
Yeah.
And... it is, you know, and that's why it's so powerful, I think, because it's meant to be dystopian, but fucking hell, it's not really. It's pretty much the parts of the world where that's going on like right now.
And at a time as well, also with Trump and everything linked to it, the whole Trumpian world, it just felt like, oh my God, this is just too close to a reality that could be in our near future, you know?
Yeah.
So if better things, just bury your head in the sand. No, that's not...
That's true.
That's not my thing, but there's certain things that I just... I don't know, maybe I'll give it a go again, because it was...
It's an excellent
show.
The new series, I think the last episode we watched is 3 or 4, and it was bloody hell. I'm not saying anything about it, apart from bloody hell.
That's all you need to say.
Now, moving on from that... before we'll just do something before we my brother gave me this book. We used to read these when we
were kids.
That's
a very weird picture.
It is quite fun, isn't it? So just describe what you're seeing now. It's a hardback.
Biggles
book.
Flies Again. Yeah, my dad had some of those books.
And what's describe the cover. What's going on in the cover?
Not entirely sure, but it looks like presumably that's Biggles, who's the kind of rugged chap there in his army fatigues or whatever they are, and he's either giving a Heimlich maneuver or he's kind of groping him in a slightly aggressive and sexual way. That's what it could be. Like he's sort of bent. He's bent him over. He's bent over.
He is bent over.
Looks like he's going.
I think that might be. I think that might be algae. Could be algae. Could be ginger. One of his chums. It's a very funny cover though.
Looks a bit like a Neanderthal. He's got like a sort of Neanderthal kind of features.
What, the chap he's bent over?
Yeah, the chap he's bent over. It looks like he's getting ready to receive Biggles from behind.
That's very charged to show you that, wasn't it? Obviously, didn't think about that when we read it as kids.
Uh-huh.
Biggles undoes his flies again. There we go.
Anyway, we didn't get to the Hester's tester.
No, here we go. Oh, yeah. I was just having a little... I was having a half-time snack.
Ah, all right. Okay. Well, it's you're going to have to answer this. What is the hardest lesson life has ever confronted you with? That's a very serious question. Yeah, that was my response too. Don't know.
Say again.
Hardest lesson.
Hardest lesson. Lesson.
Life
lesson.
Has.
Lesson. Life.
Lesson. I'll rephrase it. What's the hardest lesson something life has ever taught you?
Yeah. So hardest. I was gonna say, probably to do with eating when you eat cheese late at night. And then you get cheese dreams.
That's the hardest lesson you've ever learned from life. Don't eat cheese at night.
Yeah, you get cheese dreams. You can get some nasty, scary dreams. So that's probably the way up there. That might not be number one. The life lesson. Well, while I'm struggling, have you got anything for us?
Never put... a black t-shirt in with your whites when you're doing a laundry, if you're doing it on a hot wash, because everything will come out grey.
Of course. Is that in your top five life lessons, things you've learnt?
I mean, it was devastating to have to sleep in slightly grey sheets when I was a young man.
I've
learned from that. I just never wash. Never wash anything.
Actually, that's the best thing to do. Never wash anything, and then there's never a chance of anything.
Strip the bed, burn it all, and then buy a new set of everything. Because everything's so cheap nowadays, you may as well. It's actually cheaper. It's actually cheaper to buy new laundry than it is to go and wash it, because it costs so much to do laundry. It's just throw it all away. That's the way.
God, dreadful.
Better for the environment too. Use less water.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Is it better for the environment? It's a good question. To buy a new set of sheets than it is to wash the sheets you have with detergent.
Obviously,
it's got to be better to wash it, isn't it?
Why?
It doesn't work at all, does it? Than keep buying new sheets every night. That's ridiculous.
Not every night. Every 6 months. How often do you change your sheets?
It must be like cardboard.
Why would they be like cardboard? I'm only joking. I don't really wash my sheets every 6 months. Every 4 months.
True. Every 4 months is perfectly fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just going to... While we're talking shit, I am... The other part of my brain, a very small part of my brain that doesn't deal with the shit, it talks about some cereal. You really hot? What's that? How
quite clammy.
Is it,
it's quite sort of humid and muggy in here today.
Listeners don't care. I don't care. Listeners don't care. So don't share that shit anymore. All right.
I wasn't sharing. You asked me a question.
Oh, okay. Life lessons. Do you know? I think I learned some life lessons that I've taken with me quite early on. And I think it's our hobby horse. I think I've done times when I was young of some work and thought, this is shit. I'm not doing this every day. And then applied that to my life and I've stuck with that. Oh. So there was a life lesson there. that.
I thought you said something about a hobby horse.
Where?
Just then. Oh, sorry, I've completely misheard. I think you said when I was young about it was about the hobby horse.
Did I say that?
Sorry, interrupt.
Well, you'll find out when you edit this if I said hobby horse or whether you've gone fucking start raving, bananary mad. No, I think it's life lesson was quite early on.
Yeah.
When I realised that doing something you don't want to do, pretty much, for hours on end was stupid. I mean, just stupid. It doesn't matter what money you earn from it. It's just you know, life's too short to do stuff that you just don't really enjoy.
Totally agree with you, but it's not really the answer to the question, is it? Because it's the hardest lesson.
Oh, hardest?
That's a good lesson to have learned.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good point.
Like, you can't bring a kitten back from the dead. It's probably...
My cat.
A hard lesson. A cat back from the dead.
Oh, sorry, the cat wasn't a kitten. It was a full-grown cat. Oh, yeah. That was a hard lesson. That was a hard lesson, actually.
To be alive again.
That was a hard lesson. Mm. Seriously. Yes, I did. I suppose that is true. I did learn that the interventionist God wasn't really... The God, if he existed, didn't give a shit about the cat and about some things like that. So that was probably the hardest lesson, actually. Yeah, I suppose the hardest lesson was the kind of, you know, you thought God was there and he thought you were great, and then you go... I don't think he is there.
Yeah.
I'd say that is probably
the hardest lesson I've learned is just the slow realization
erosion.
That,
yeah,
you know, the beliefs that I grew up with are a load of baloney. You know, that is, it's not, I mean, we've joked about this a lot, but it's not, I'm not happy about that, really.
I'm not happy at all.
I'd be much happier. You know, if I was still like a devout Christian, I think as deluded as it would be, because it's probably easier to live that way, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think do you know, we've accidentally, in a roundabout, stupid, silly way, we've actually found a proper answer to this question. Yes.
Because it's hard to live without faith of, I mean, not that I have no, I mean, I have faith in people, I have faith in certain situations. not most people I don't, but some people. But to have not have that, you know, sort of foundation of I'm going to be looked after by
I'm going to be looked after I'm going to heaven
being.
It's all going to be lovely. Yes like, no, I agree. I think that is
accept that.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think I'd go even further now and say that most of the things I've done since have been sort of attempts to fill that little God-shaped hole. You know, so every time I'm making something, it kind of helps. Creating something always helps. Or just enjoying nature helps.
Right.
And being in the sun helps and all those things. But it's that whole series of distractions, pretty much, you kind of go... But, yeah, ultimately, it is a bit sad. It's a bit kind of like, oh, I really like that story. I don't believe it anymore. So, yeah, it's true. But I'm still hoping that when I get to a certain age in the future, I'll suddenly go, oh, no, I'm going to try really hard to believe it all again.
Yeah. I'll have like a
try really, really
deathbed
hard.
Conversion.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go for one of those. And I'm going to say, actually... Well, there was actually, see, this, it is not, it's not unprecedented, because when Jesus was on the cross, of course, there was that, was it a murderer, I think, who was up next to him. And he said, basically, the murderer said, Jesus, well, he probably thought he had nothing else to lose. So he said, oh, Jesus, I definitely believe in you. I'm definitely, and Jesus went, well, you'll be with me in, he actually is effectively saying, you're the first in.
Yeah.
You'll be with me in heaven tonight.
And then he went, and then he forgot he was nailed to the cross and it really hurt.
Really hurt.
Sorry, that was a visual joke that didn't really work in a podcast.
No. So, but yeah, he got in there. But I mean, it's good for the murderer. It's kind of a bit of luck right at the end of his life.
Yeah. It could have been nailed up anywhere, really. Or if he'd been crucified, like an hour earlier.
Yes.
It delayed, it would have been condemned to eternal misery.
misery. But because he was nailed up at that moment next to one of the members of the triumvirate, the Trinity, and Jesus said, "Yeah, mate, you're in, you're in."
Yeah.
And then the murderer said, "Yeah, cheese cuff." So that's and he thought quite smugly, "Hang on, I've been a bit of a shit in my life, but look, I'm getting into heaven.
Crime does pay.
I'm getting to heaven. Crime does pay. As long as you end up being nailed next to Jesus."
Yeah. Then it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. So, but do you reckon there was something on the other side of Jesus?
Well, there was, wasn't there?
Talk about.
Yeah, the story I remember is that there was one.
Oh, was there?
On one side, it was like, "Oh, why are you praying to him and all that stuff?"
Oh, is it? I forgot that bit.
Yeah, and the other one was like, "Well, he's just the son of God."
Do you reckon there was one behind?
He was like, trying to get on the fence. You might be, you might not. Don't really know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's Pascal's wager, isn't it? Pascal's wager, the philosopher Pascal, is that basically it's better to believe than not believe, because if you believe and you're wrong, doesn't matter. If you don't believe, then you go to hell. So you might as well just go for believing.
Yeah, but that's... doesn't really work though, does it? Because you only either believe or you don't believe. You can't.
Yeah,
you can't say, "Oh, I'm going to believe in that." Yeah, I'm going to believe in that, because you don't believe it, do you?
I agree. I agree with what you're saying, but that's what he said.
Idiot.
17th century twat. Idiot. Pascal, up your ass. Yeah. Idiot. Well, we are heading towards the end of the show. Didn't you play with the silver relics?
No, in the not yet.
Okay, when's that coming up?
In a couple of, about 10 days, actually. Yeah. Got a rehearsal on Wednesday.
Did you see those things I sent through? Those Facebook promoted pictures. I sent to you some Facebook.
Oh, did you? Where'd you send them? Send them where?
Oh, to your email. Doesn't matter. We'll do it next week. Just promotional stuff I get sent on my Facebook page. I've been collecting some. I just sent
maybe
it
went to
you.
My,
don't worry, we'll do it next week.
It went to my spam, didn't it?
Yeah, probably. We'll do that next week. I've been collecting them. There's been some wonderful...
When did you send that?
Today.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry about it now. And we shouldn't end the show just talking like this, because nobody... What a dreadful way to end the show. Yeah,
really stunning pics that the royal family tried to hide these images. Okay, sorry, it's just a teaser for next week.
Yeah, you can pick one now if you want. Just pick one now. Which one do you know?
20 plus revealing T-shirts that girls actually bought and wore. No.
So you're meant to click on that, because I suppose the idea is then you'll see girls in revealing T-shirts.
Yeah.
But the actual clickbait thing is that the girls... What does it say again?
20 revealing T-shirts that girls actually bought and wore. Teddyfeed.com.
What does that mean? I'm a bit confused by that. They didn't have any revealing T-shirts in their wardrobe, so they actually bought some... Even though they knew they were revealing. I don't understand.
This is stupid.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
What does it mean? Why have they sent it to me?
Because they know that you're a pervert.
It's very Benny Hill as well, isn't it? It's very sort of like 1970s. Oh, click on this and you'll see some girls in tight T-shirts. Isn't it? Have you seen the one with
Captain
the very...
leather men's sling bags. I don't know what that means. Bull Captain leather men sling bags.
Okay, what's the picture?
Bull Captain Leathermen sling bags. It's just a picture of a bag next to a laptop and an ugly bag. It's called Bull Captain bag.
Bull Captain.
What's that?
I don't know.
Sling?
I don't know.
It's where you keep your slings in when you're going to go out and kill some giants.
Well, maybe. Well, they obviously thought I'd be interested in it. But I'm not. I've got no interest in killing giants at all.
No.
So, no, I'm not interested in that at all. Anyway, let us pray.
Let us pray. Our Father who art in Devon. Hallowed be thy holy name on earth as in will has been done.
I skipped a few bits out there, didn't you?
Like forever and ever.
Ever and ever. Abridged version.
Amen.
Everything gets shortened these days because if people have no capacity to concentrate for more than 5 seconds. And maybe there is now a very abbreviated version of that.
It's just all emojis.
It's all emojis, yeah. I bet that's been
the
done.
Lord's
the Lord's Prayer emojis. Has emerged.
I bet it has.
I bet it has. Wow.
If it hasn't, I'll be doing it for next week.
Yeah. Okay, well, shall we tutty bye off?
Yes.
Don't forget the quiz, everybody. I know I have.
What bush are you looking at?
Oh, yeah, what bush am I looking at? Yeah.
And the bush won't... Clue is, it's not Kate Bush.
It's not Kate Bush. And, of course, I can't cheat. I can't change the bush, by the way. I'm not going to... Someone's not going to send in the right answer, and I'll say, no, it's not, because you can't... Once the bush is there, that's it. You can't put another bush in there just to try and avoid giving a PlayStation 5 away.
Might go can on you? Google Maps and see if I can zoom in on your bush from outer space.
You can't win it, because you're part of RSP. You know,
oh, yeah,
nuts.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, idiot. It's in the small print. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Do listen again if you want to next week. Yeah,
or even if you don't want to. Please listen anyway.
Please listen. Please. Bye-bye.
Bye.